Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Let's throw our hands and just thank the Lord. Let's thank the Father. Let's thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give him praise for the life that his son, his servant, Murphy Opala lived, and that he's still living in his presence. Let's thank the Lord for this church, Cornerstone Church, that God used him to birth. Let's say, Lord, to you we give all the glory. We speak of you in your son. To you we give all the glory. Every good thing, he said, there is none good but God. There's none good but God. Any good thing we say about any one of us is because God is inside the individual. So let's give him all the praise. There is none good but you, Father. There is none good but you. There is none good but God. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take our seats. First, let me apologize for disrupting the program a bit, because I actually have to go somewhere after now. So that's the reason why I begged, and they said, okay, I can be accommodated to come up a little earlier, so that when I finish, I can pursue my appointment. Let me put it like that. So, Madam Ngozi, thank you very much for inviting me, Pastor Chisholm. And welcome to Enugu again. How have you been? Actually, I was in Abuja a few days ago. I should have come to look for you. I think you're not in town or something. Okay, you're already in Enugu. Please, let's open our Bible to the book of Luke chapter 10. Book of Luke chapter 10. Now, what we want to read is the story of the people that Jesus sent out, his disciples. I'm going to start from verse 17, actually, but let me back up slightly just to get an introduction earlier. So let's start from verse 1. It said, now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. So he had his itinerary planned out. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He said, go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. They kept on giving instructions on sending what they would do. Let me just quickly jump there. I don't know how they will be sustained, but let's go down to... I'm just looking for where he said... Yes. Verse 8. So whatever city you enter and they receive you, it's what is said before you. Heal those in need who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, let's now go down to verse 17. Now, they went out as he planned or as he instructed. And then in verse 17, the Bible says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Say, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. I like the King James expression there. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. So beautiful. You understand? Now, he said, nevertheless, now this is my message, verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. He said, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. And that's the message I want to preach. What should we rejoice concerning? You know, I was teaching yesterday, and I've been on it for some time. I believe the Holy Spirit has been pressing me in that regard. And that's for Christians to know how to properly define what success is in life, so that they'll know what to pursue. You know, if you go to the book of Philippians chapter 1, one of the things Paul taught the church was that they must learn to approve the things that are excellent. One of the problems we have in this life is when people do not know how to approve the things that are excellent, that is, to highly regard what is important. James said that we do it. I mean, it was being done then, we're still doing it now. If somebody comes to church and he parks a very nice car outside and he dresses very expensive, let's put it like that. You know, there are people you just see, you know what he's wearing. It's made in heaven, let's put it like that. There's a tendency for human beings, James was rebuking the church, is to tell the man, give him a nice seat, understand? Because it looks like he's worthy of. And the reason is simply because you have assessed his outward, let me borrow the word, success. And that's why a lot of people will do anything just to get that money.
This American retired neurosurgeon, very famous one, what is his name? Ben Carson. He said that if you want students to do well, stop putting only actors and athletes, football stars, basketball stars, South America now, on the things you are marketing to them. You want to sell conflicts, you put somebody jumping and running. All what the children want to do is jump and run. He said, but a Nobel Prize laureate there, the man who won the Nobel Prize in physics last year, put his face. Let the children ask, who is this? Then it becomes a conversation. The next time you are teaching physics, they will pay attention. That's what we mean to approve the things that are excellent. Now, in Christianity, this is very important. Unconsciously, it has become a problem in the church. You know, we teach success, success, success so much that people have become earthly minded. And because I don't have all the time, let me just sit on this. Let's even come back to church. We've left the things on the world. We're not talking about which car we bought, which company we built, how much money we have. Let's just talk about even the church now. Now, who would have thought? I mean, one of the things that I believe Christians should pursue, I was even preaching about that yesterday, and analyzing the fact that Jesus promised a white stone and a name written on it to overcome us. So it's something to pursue, isn't it? The white stone and the name written on it. So one of the examples I give, well, I was quoting Isaac Omolen, using as an illustration of what the white stone. Of course, the white stone means a seal, you know, just like a seal, all right? And the name written on it, that signifies the authority the person carries. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, after the sacrifice, the Father highly exalted him and gave him what? A name. So that's what it implies, the position and rank in life. You call somebody's name and it signifies something. So we give the example, because I watched it just a few days before, of how when we were young, we used to watch him on TV. Prophet Tiu Obadari. He said how he went abroad once. He was so somebody came to, he went to minister. He went with this man that's speaking, telling the story. And they begged him to come and minister to one woman who had become ill. She was now bedridden. And the children said they just invited their mother to come. Now she has fallen sick. They don't know what to do and all of that. So that pastor, Prophet Tiu Obadari, sent this man, Isaac Omolen. Said, go there. Tell her that Prophet Obadari said, that's the message. And that he went there, delivered the message. Let's make a long story short. The woman got healed. Later on, having tapped of that anointing, they told him that one little boy, one young man, university student, was traveling. He had an accident and he broke his back. And at that time, he must have been unconscious. He was not in intensive care. He couldn't go. They came to him where he was doing a crusade. Please come and pray. He also sent somebody. Said, tell him, Isaac Omolayi, he said, get up. Now, we're describing that God had anointed this man so much that somebody just said, look, this man of God said, I should tell you this, and the power of God will be released. Is that not a great thing? And that was, of course, I'm preaching it. Then that's what we should aspire to. That is, so these people had it. The 70 went out. They were driving out demons anyhow. They were healing the sick. All kinds of things were happening. And then Jesus said to them, don't rejoice in that. Okay, we couldn't rejoice in our money, in our material achievement, in the things that we have. People who came to church, we should rejoice in our anointing. we left the things of the world. Now, these are spiritual things. These are spiritual things. We're not carnal people. We value, you know, the anointing. Do you follow my point? Yeah, Jesus said, no. I don't rejoice even in that. That the thing that should be most important to you is that your name is recorded in heaven. But if the power flows as you're ministering, we just give the Lord praise. We thank him for what he's doing. But if there's any indication there for you, it should be that, the Lord knows me. The thing that should matter to you most. You know, the truth is that, you know, I was a little boy when the SU movement was going all over Nigeria. I was a little older when the faith and prosperity movement came in. And I think we made a terrible mistake at that time. Yes, you know, truth. There's something about truth. Nobody has everything. And oftentimes you learn a new truth. Be careful that you don't throw away the old one. We're guilty of throwing away the old one. I was young. I mean, by this time I was in university. We're learning. There was this, when Paul said, knowledge puffs up. Knowledge actually puffed us up. And one of these crazy things we did was to throw away a song like, take the whole world and give me Jesus. Now we are singing it again. Thank God for that. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's one line of it. Next one is, you take the whole world and give me Jesus. I'm satisfied. We don't like that. Maybe guys, Baba should add it. Yeah, you should. Because that song, without that second line, it's not complete. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Then the next line says, you take the whole world and give me Jesus. I'm satisfied. We came and started saying, come on, that's a sense knowledge song, I tell you, I'll take the whole world. No, I give me Jesus, I take my world with me, hallelujah. It's nonsense, you love the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Let's leave that thing. We start learning principles of how to follow Jesus without turning back, but we drag the world with us. We won't turn back. Turn back for what? But this world you are following, that is not the gospel. It's wrong. Now, we can argue that I can't insist here. Yeah? These arguments are not necessary. That we are having to have that argument is a problem. That we are not all uniformly satisfied with Jesus is a problem. That we have been, that is, that it matters to us to have those arguments. It's not a problem. Can God give things? Of course. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Isaiah 66 verse 12. It said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I quote it all the time. I didn't go to look for it. The scripture came to me. But you know the truth? I told the Lord in the midst of it. If you like, don't give me a dime. I told him, I will never complain. I told him he didn't have to give me anything at all. The only thing I just begged him for, don't give me a wife. Yeah, I did. It was a real prayer that God, you see, living the life of poverty is not a problem. But if I have to do it, I need to do it alone. I don't want anybody crying on my shoulders. I don't want any children holding my trousers that they have not eaten. Do I look like I've eaten? Do you know? I'm not interested at all. So I told the Lord, because I just envisioned it. You come home and daddy. I said, no, please. I can come home, lie down. Having gone everywhere to preach, I will come home and lie down, and I will sleep, and I won't ask you for a thing. But please, don't let anybody wake me up. The way you were gone, the children were crying. I said, that one I don't want. I'm being honest with you. I told the Lord, that I do not want. Because what happened that time, the Spirit of God was flowing through the materials, the messages I was listening to, the books I was reading. I just realized that if God lays hold of you like this, you don't own yourself anymore. You have to follow him fully and get your full, and that's the message, your full satisfaction is that you're following the right person. You know Jesus, you know the Father. And you know what? That's why I said we made a mistake with some of those teachings. If you go and read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it talked about people who were wandering here and there. They didn't have clothes. They did not have this. They didn't have that. And you know what he said concerning them? He said this world was not worthy of them. Imagine a man walking the street. Maybe he has a megaphone. He's wearing bathroom slippers. His clothes are old. And he's displaying the gospel. And God tells you that, see, this world, you are lucky to have this person here. You're not worthy. He's too good for you. He's too holy for you. He's too righteous for this world he's in. I just kept him here because I need him to stay and intercede and pray and do things. Where he really belongs is with me. Rick Jenner told this story. Please pick the book and read. The Final Quest. Indeed, he told the story of a man who was doing a lot of good works. Mission work, go preach the gospel, share out tracts, help the poor and everything. And he saw the man. Then the Lord showed him another vision in which is another man who was deaf, if I remember well. He was walking on the road, homeless. And a cat, a stray cat. And cats do that. You know the way cats behave. If you've ever had a cat, you won't understand. But I've had cats. Cats like to, just snuggle around people. So he was standing there. One cat decided, even though he didn't know him, to come and rest on his leg, on his foot. So the cat came, crossed his leg. And he lifted his foot out of anger. He was a bitter man. He wanted to kick the cat. The last moment, he restrained himself and shoved the cat out of the way. Do you get it? His instinct was to, boom, give it a kick. He had raised the leg. He was bringing it down. when he restrained himself. But he still didn't leave the cart there. Lifted the cart, pushed him up. And the Lord asked this prophet, who do you think did better? Now, let's quickly get to the story. The Lord said to him, that man, the cart shoving man, did far better than the mission man who was helping the poor, who was giving out money, who was preaching the gospel, giving out tracts. Said why? Said, let's give the background. This guy was born with deformities. He was deaf. His parents were ashamed of him. So they kept him locked up. They showed him no love, nothing. By the time he was a teenager, he had left the house. They had virtually pushed him out. He didn't have any love. He didn't know kindness. He didn't know anything. That all the love he had, if you measure it, is 3 units. Do you understand? 3 doses of love, that's all he had. But the other man was born of good Christians.
Hey, sweetie, have you woken up? How was your night?
Mommy has rubbed your hand in the morning, has blessed you. Come on,
your breakfast is ready.
Off to school, somebody has dropped you in school.
Sweetie, have a nice day. Bye-bye, mommy.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And the father, I think, was a preacher, you know, very nice home. The Lord said he had 100 doses of love. And all this work he's doing, he's using only 50. That he's using only 50 out of 100. I poured much into him, so I have the right to require much. So everything he's doing, he's just 50. But the other guy had only 3, and he used all the 3, not to kick a cat. All. And the story about why I'm telling the story is that eventually one day, okay, somebody preached to him, he gave his life to Christ, and he used to, you know, pick trash, sell trash, make small money, and all the money he had, he used to buy tracts. He would go and donate somewhere, collect tracts, and be preaching. He couldn't hear, but he was preaching the gospel. Then one day they came in the morning, he was dead. He was homeless. Then the council people came in the morning, they found his dead body. Why? He froze to death. Cold. Killed him. Not because he didn't have a jacket, but because he removed his jacket to cover a drunk man. I think you should get the book and read The Final Quest. We just not talked about it. But do you know why he died? The angels in heaven begged God to bring him home. That this earth is not worthy. And so those of us, you think he froze. He didn't freeze. The Lord decreed, bring him. And Regina saw him in heaven, very handsome and sitting on one of the big thrones. Please get the book. I didn't manufacture the story. It's a vision the man had. I think we Christians, you know, we have to learn to approve the things that are excellent, value the things that matter, live lives. Do you understand? That, see, this life, one of my best authors in life, is Oswald Chambers. He taught me so much, taught me a lot. I still read his books. When I started reading when I was a teenager, especially in my 20s, was when I really read Oswald Chambers. I'm in my 50s now. I'm older than he was when he died. He was 43. Either 43 or 46. I have to confirm that because I quote that story a lot. You know why he died? He had appendicitis. It ruptured. He was in Egypt preaching when it happened. Then he died. He was 43 or 46. And then his wife's notes that she used to take when he would be preaching was all that was now collected and turned to books. But he was only 43 or 46 when he passed on. But the depth, the insight I find in this material till now, few people I know on this earth have it. Actually, I don't know any that I can say gives me that kind of depth. I don't know any. But I'm sure I can't say there's none. There must be. Maybe I've not encountered them. But you know how old he was? He was just 40-something. But he left his, the spirit that God poured in him, that he left on the earth. And he died around 1918, thereabout. Not today. In fact, I was using to explain, I was using his wife to teach. Because sometimes, you know, people want to judge who's successful, who's not successful. And I say, look, listen to me, be careful. That woman was not rich. We don't know how she used to dress, the kind of clothes she had and all of that. But without him, without her, all his teachings would have been lost. All of it, apart from one book he wrote. And the reason is because she was the recorder. She studied to get a good job. She wanted to work in the British, for the British Prime Minister. As she, you know, she worked hard. Those days, people need to they used to write with shorthand. There were no recorders, so she studied shorthand. I saw the interview of her daughter, all right? The daughter was very old. I still have the interview somewhere. And she described her mother as phenomenal when it comes to shorthand. She didn't get the job. And that's something you have to be careful. It's not every disappointment that it should be worrying you. She didn't get that job. I don't know how they did it, whether it is IM, you know they call IM. I don't know what IM. Maybe man, no man. That is how they gave somebody else the job that she didn't get. But she got, God gave her another job. God said to her, go and marry this boy. She married this young minister. And she had the skill. Why not use it? As he would teach, she would write. As he would teach, she would write. As she would, as he would teach, she would write. And then suddenly he died. And then that depth of teaching will have disappeared, except that God gave her a job of marrying this fellow. Was she a very rich woman? I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter. However, 100 years later, it's over 100 years now. All right? His life is still relevant because of her. So let's go home and be thinking about who is successful and who is not. Do you get my point? Why did God give you life? Why did God create you? You know, this morning I thought about it. There's some people say, thank God, man, no be God, and that kind of thing. Have you ever wished you were God? Anyway, let me tell you, this morning, I woke up early in the morning, and I thought about it. I said, God, the idea of being God is scary. And scary is in, as in, is lonely. You are there, you know everything. You can't even, nobody can even console you. Nobody can hold you and say no. And in case you do not know, now this is my understanding, all right? If you think I'm wrong, you are free to think so, but my understanding is that that is why he said, let us make man in our image. It's too lonely being God alone. You have to have somebody you can talk with now. Abba. And I deduced that from the book from Genesis. I don't have time to teach about that now. I thought about it. I said, this morning, no. I just woke up and I said, God, just be God all by yourself and you don't need nobody else. That's not a good life. I just thought about it. I said, no. I like the way you made us. I mean, we need each other. Like we sing the song, you need me, I need you, we are all part of one body. It is, you know, he's good. He's good like that. He's so comforting. He's so nice. But why am I mentioning that? So one of the things that God wants, all right, is to develop people, you understand, that can, you get me? He can really talk with, he can have relationship with, he can call a friend. Yeah. God has solved that problem for himself in you and I. It would be wrong of us to not disappoint him. He sent us to this earth to build us into people that he can talk with. You know, let me tell you, Sadhu says something. He said one day, he had a vision, he's a prophet, so they don't give him a file and he was going through it. He said, this is the plan I have for my daughter's life. And he was looking at it, said, the Lord said, what do you think of it? And he looked like, what do I think? He said, he looked like, what do I think of it? He said, the Lord asked him, what do you think of it? He said, he told the Lord, it's a very nice plan. It's a very nice plan. But in his mind, what do you mean? What do I think? I can have an opinion. But you know what? I believe, I'm persuaded. The Lord actually likes the idea. I believe he actually likes the idea. There's something Jesus Christ said. It's a parable, but it's based on reality. That is spiritual reality. A king went out to take kingdoms for himself and then return. And then he got his, let me summarize the parable. He got his servants to prepare to take the kingdoms. So when he came back, he said, how well did you do? This is your mina. It has become 10. It's all right. Be in charge of 10 cities. What am I trying to say? The first thing we should all focus on in this life, why did God put me here? It is what I am becoming as a result of being here. It's what I'm becoming. Everybody comes from different backgrounds. All of us must become one thing, and that's the full image of Christ Jesus. In fact, the reason why he allows us to come for all kinds of places is to show, to demonstrate the greatness of his grace that's available to everybody who wants to change. Like David Paulson will say, when God wants to make his masterpiece, is it David Paulson or Derek Prince? That he went to a junkyard. He's an artist. He wants to build the best thing that he ever made. And you know what he did? He went to a junkyard. To go and take things that people have discarded and make something beautiful out of it. That's the first thing. That we allow God to work out his purpose in your life in building you into somebody that he can fully trust in, he can rely on, who can make decisions. Now listen to this, very important. Who can make decisions for him? They be in charge of 10 cities. Who's in charge? So and so person. Whatever he says, whatever she says, is exactly what I would say. That's what it means to be a son. Of course, it applies to both male and female. So please, I'm not talking about only the brothers have a hope. That's not what I mean. It applies to both male and female. But the idea of sonship, of course, Jesus Christ said it clearly to us, that when you get to that place, there's no marrying or giving in marriage. Why? Because everyone is like the angels of God. There's no male, there's no female. And in Christ Jesus, there's none. So when we use the word son, just because that's what the Bible has used. But that's what it means. When they said concerning Jesus, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Please let me explain that. Take a moment to explain what that means again. It means that this is my beloved son, in whom I'm fully represented. This is my beloved son, whose judgment I can trust as mine. This is my beloved son, anything he says, you do it. That is, if he says something, I have said it, even if I didn't tell him before. Do you get my point? Because I have transformed him, he has proven to be somebody who's exactly in my image, who's exactly in my likeness. He loves what I love, he hates what I hate, he desires what I desire, he loots what I loot. Do you understand? His purpose is exactly my purpose. If he makes any decision, it is correct. And he has proven it to be so. I've watched him over the last many years. I trained him, I tested him, that's what he is. So for that reason, listen to him. I hope you're getting my point. The second thing, the reason why we are here, please, Christians, I think we should pursue. God wants to, through us, express himself on the earth so that the gift he has placed inside us must be manifested while we are alive. This earth is very transient. Don't behave like it is not. Do you hear what I say?
Yes,
sir. This earth is very transient. Stop behaving like it is not. It is very transient. You know, you read the scriptures, we know Solomon had beautiful houses. Not only Solomon, all the men in Israel, they had it very, that's all the princes. But you know the truth? We can't see any one of them today. Not one. Not one. In our story, we will be here. Solomon was very great. He was very great. Mike Mundock wrote a book entitled The Secrets of the Richest Man That Ever Lived. At the end of the day, in fact, somebody pointed out, you know, a few days ago, I was listening, that go and read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. His name is not there. Ahab's name is not there. The one that shocked me is Samson. Samson's name is there. He said, but you forgot Solomon. Samson made it to that list. Solomon didn't. When Jesus wanted to describe all of his glory, he said, it's not as nice as one of these flowers. Yes. The Lord said, it's not as nice as one of the flowers. He said, Solomon, all his glory is not as well dressed as one of the flowers of the field that the Father made. Let us stop behaving as if this life is not... Look, in the scope of eternity, the man that lived to be 40, and one that lived to be 100, and the one that lived to be Methuselah. And then you compare everybody to 2 million years. You know, each person is less than 0.1. Everybody is less than 0.1. It's what you are doing in the one that the Lord has given you that matters. Please, let me just explain this and I close. Don't leave the things that matter most till later. Don't. You know, sometimes you see Christians talk as if, but one day we're traveling to Makurdi, then we used to go there to preach. Because we're leaving, go to the checkpoint. Of course, to make our journey easier, we tell you who we are and where we are going. Why we're in a hurry. We're traveling very fast. We have like 3 hours, 3 hour journey ahead of us. So we say, look, this is our word. The policeman, I say, very soon, when he's retired, you put down this gun, you now start the work of God. I say, okay, you had better be doing the work of God while you're standing here. You had better see this standing here as the work of God. Because you can't leave the things of God until it is convenient. You can't. You have to say, let me go and make money first. And we'll, I said, the Lord is waiting for you. Say, oh, my son is soon coming. You come and start the work I gave for him. He has other things to do now. He has other things. When he has finished, I'll be here waiting patiently. Please don't offer sacrifice that will not be acceptable. No, don't. That sacrifice, he does not collect. Say, Lord, I finished. So what is it I should do again? You tell you, somebody else has done it. I don't need you anymore. Somebody else has done it. I don't need you anymore. Leave it. As Christians, let's be careful. What I'm just saying is this. See, two things that matter. One, most important, is that in this your life, Christ is formed in you. Don't take any shortcoming in your life. You know, you make an excuse for it. My brother, my sister, the way you are doing is not good. You know, it's because of the family I'm from. It's even good. Now you know. At least you have acknowledged that it is wrong. Make it an urgent work. Because you see, that's why God kept you here. Just the reason. So it must be urgent upon you that no, this side of me has to be fixed. The Spirit of God inside me must be given full expression. It must be given full expression. Then second, God has many parts and he wants to bless the world with different parts of him. And a part of it he has kept in you that you must release for this earth to enjoy. For the people that will come, because it's through you, I will bless somebody else to become what he or she is supposed to be. You understand what I'm saying? So, one of the things I gave as an example yesterday, because see, what the world does is to bait us away from God's purpose. The world, the job, is to bait us away from the purpose of God. You don't have to do this now. You don't have to do this now. This is not important. They bait us away from God's purpose. I like one illustration I gave yesterday. Of course, Paul, I gave as an example. I mentioned a few books, the book of Romans. Paul wrote half of your New Testament. I'm one of those that believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. I won't talk about the reason why, but please, for the purpose of my discussion, let me just give him the book of Hebrews, all right? Now, the book of Ephesians, in the Romans, the book of Ephesians, the book of Romans, Ephesians, and Hebrews, yes, those three books, all right? If those three books are the only books you have, you will understand almost everything about Christ Jesus. Now, please listen carefully. What am I talking about? So look at a man like Paul. Will you now, as a Christian, you're a Christian, all right? You read your Bible. If you're a Christian, say amen. If you read your Bible, say amen. If you like the idea of having the scriptures in your hand, say amen. If you think your life will be useless without the scriptures, say amen.
Amen.
Good. So would you have loved it for somebody to dash Paul all the wealth of Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Dangote put together so that he will not write one of those books? No, you wouldn't want that. Because now you understand the value. Another lesson I gave, I wrote a book titled Choices, Key to Destiny. Another one titled Youngies and Talent. I've written a number of those books. Now, occasionally, I see people send me pictures, videos. It's happened a number of times, especially with choices, where young people are gathered. Bishop, you remember the day you sent me a picture? You went to a house and you saw a little girl reading Choices. So you made her carry it up, you snapped her, and sent me the picture. The young teenage girl was studying Choices. The other day, JBKM sent me a video in New Haven where the school students gathered and their teacher was reading. Each person had a copy of Choices and they were reading and they were studying. I've gotten that from Port Harcourt, that's River State, from Edo State, where I know people have done it. Thousands and thousands of copies have been used for that. Now, I say it under God, I'm not lying. You cannot give me $1 billion not to write that book. I won't take it from you. I just assume you're the devil himself. Just because of these pictures I've seen, under God, I say it, I do not lie to you. Nobody can offer me $20 billion not to write that one book. It's not up to 100 pages. It's not 100 pages. Okay, what will I do with your $20 billion? Eat what I'm not eating right now. Anything I'm not eating right now, I don't want to eat it. Because see, after after you don't do fish up and down, the fish I still like the most is that one that is it mackerel, whatever you call it, when they sell in the market, just fry the whole thing like that, or bake whatever it is. That's it. It's not $1,000. How much is fish? I don't want to eat caviar. It's raw. It's nonsense. I hate the sight of where they are harvesting. It turns me off. Which car do I want to drive?
Let me, you know, somebody said something. See, whenever you sit inside the plane, they're all going to the same place. The plane that crashed in India the other day, are you aware that those in first class died? Are you aware? In fact, the only man that did not die, it was an economy. So if you want to preserve your life, maybe you should actually sit at the back. But you know the funny part? Every person who I've seen, heard of, walk out of a crashed plane has been economy. Every. I'm not saying you're not sitting in the economy because of that. This man, over 200 people, you know, passengers and crew, all right? He just got up. The plane crashed, bam, killed everybody. He just got up, removed his seatbelt and walked out. And he was sitting at the back. What I'm going to say is that, see, there's nothing to offer anybody. In fact, what he said about money, he said, the more money increases. Solomon said, the more the mouths that eat it increase. And listen to me, there's nothing you can do about that. There is nothing you can do about that. The other day I was discussing with my wife, I said, it looks like you now have the problem of rich people. And it's not your fault, though. It's not your fault, though. You spend so much money for one cloth and wear it once and it's useless after that day. Only rich people do that nonsense. Other people, it has to be wedding dress. And after that, you will tear it and readjust it and then Monday, you're wearing it to work. Yeah, I told her, see, this is my small level in life. I begin to have problems of rich people. You know, the couple of rich people. All that happens that you just ask, you know, some those days I used to laugh at this way. Don't mind them. This girl, look at the clutch she wore for the last premiere of her movie. It was $10,000. God, how's your business? Fact, I'm thinking of somebody, one of these actresses. Actually, $10,000 to show up once. If she wears it again, her career is over. What I'm trying to say is that, listen, so the truth is that it's not worth pursuing. No, it's not worth pursuing. Just as small as, if you see anybody that wears a cloth, it's expensive, and the label is showing, that's how you know poor people. No, that's how you know. You look like it's Versace. So the Versace is on the chest. See, this argument you're having with your friend, it's real, it's genuine. It's genuine Versace. It's a sign that both of you are poor. It's a sign. So please, young men, young women, young women, just learn that one. If you are really rich, the last thing you want is a label on your body. The last thing you want on you is a label. Once I've seen those ones, they will do sunshades D and G. Now, first, Dolce and Gabbana did not do that one. In my own suspicion. Secondly, you know, it's a Chinese man that did it and used it, and then you put it on your face. To be advertising somebody else's product. Are you okay? Even if Dolce and Gabbana did it, they did it only for poor people. If you see a rich person wear it, he or she, most of them they are she's in these actors, you know, and musicians. Yeah. They are making their money from wearing it. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, you see some of them, let me not mention it, some of them, the one cloth, they just wear it once and take a picture with it. This is of Google. Once you stamp it, Google Lens will capture it for you, tell you where to find it. And that's the idea. They are waiting. It's just 3 weeks sales. They make all their money back, and that girl gets a cut of it, maybe 20%. And she pockets like $2-3 million. And you now be really feeling happy as if you have made it. You have not made it. You're shown to be really poor. Please, okay, you are getting my point. What I'm saying all of this is for us to know what to pursue in life. That's why I said, look, nobody's going to give me $1 billion. I didn't say naira, dollars. I said, don't write this book. I won't take it. In fact, you came to negotiate on the book. There's a problem. I'm looking at you with suspicion. Your horn is growing in my mind as I'm staring at you. Your horns on your head, they are growing. brethren, all we should pursue is how much of Christ is being formed in me. How much of Christ is being formed in me. Please, before you make any decision, there's something I shared about two, three weeks ago. I need to explain it to everybody. See, in this life, God wants worship. See, worship is not something that God uses. It's something, but I don't have time to explain what it really is about. But it must come out of you. Constantly, worship must be emanating from your person to the Lord. It is not for his own sake. For your information, it's not for his own sake. All right? But just I don't have time to explain what it is for. It's not for his own sake. He doesn't need it per se. He doesn't. It's like you drinking water. Are you getting my point? It's not for the sake of water. You're not helping the river when you drink the water. You're not helping the rain when you take water. You're not. But you have to drink it. It has to be a constant part of you. Right? Worship is like that. Is that okay? Now, so be careful in life. I just feel like dropping this before I close. When you are making decisions, every decision you make, ask yourself, how is it affecting my worship? Did you hear what I said? Every decision you make, be careful how it affects your worship. One day a brother told me, he said he's moving abroad. Now please, nothing wrong with moving abroad. Is that okay? Abroad is a place. You get what I'm saying? It's a place. Just like I moved abroad, I crossed River Niger to get to Enugu. Is that not overseas? Okay, over a river. So I don't have any problem with it, okay? I'm not trying to. But he asked me a question. He came to tell me. So I asked him a simple question. I said, okay, what about the children? Something led to it. I said, what about the kids? You know what he said to me? He said, that is a problem. Now, I won't go into details. He said, that's the problem. So have you solved it? No. And then he packed and left. I said, are you crazy? You're talking about development for these children. You're talking about building up their faith. You're talking about all of these things. And I pointed out to you that, okay, what have you done about it? He said, that's the problem. Oh, they were thinking about it. I said, so what have you done? Nothing. And next thing I knew, he had gone. If you ever talk to me on that matter again, I'll take him back to that point. That this was where you made your mistake. You saw a problem, you didn't solve it. Don't you know these children were given to you for a reason? You were supposed to instill worship and prepare them for the next level of divine service. And I pointed to you about this. Now I look back, maybe it was the Holy Spirit. And you say, yes, it's a problem. And you did not solve it, yet you took the action. Listen, any decision you want to make in life, just, like I said, I'm not saying do this or do that. Sit down and say, how does it affect my worship? I say this boldly. Well, only one of my kids remain now to get into university, and I trust God that by this year he will. So there's no, the argument doesn't arise for me anymore, okay? But I used to say to people, I will not send you, I don't care how much money I have. If I cannot see how well the environment I'm putting you in, how it will help your faith to be boosted, you're not going. It is more important to me than what you are learning in book. You see, this generation we are in, there's no adult that can't learn anything he wants to learn. You can get a university degree on YouTube. You know that. Sit down on YouTube and be watching videos and taking notes. Taking your textbooks and if you are diligent, you will learn advanced engineering and you did not leave YouTube. So please don't come and give me any noise of, if you get there, this school is better. It is what you want to make of it. Is what you want to make of it. But I ask all the time, say, see, I have kids. They are going to leave me. God expects me to drill them in righteousness and justice, godliness and holiness. Who am I handing them over to? And I don't know. No, you are staying with me. You are not going to school. You will not, see, in Jesus' name, you won't go to school. Stay at home. Because an earthly degree does not count towards your eternal life. It doesn't. The problem we have with Christians is that we don't believe. We just pretend. See, you know, a lot of us don't believe nothing. You want to know whether you believe or you don't? When you are making decisions. When you are making decisions, that is when you know whether you believe or you don't. I can't treat your spiritual developments as if it's not important. And parents, listen to this. And you expect those children to take spirituality as an important thing. See, when you're training kids, you pass messages across to them subtly all the time. That's when my children were small. You know, when people are going to church, you know, I share, okay, there's this generation now. Now I share 50 naira for kids to give offering. I never did it. Lie. No. I said, you don't have to give every day. So when they are going to church, my wife will call them together, pack good money, put it in one envelope, and give to the most senior. Then Akinlu was a small boy. Akinlu, when you get to church, give to Uncle Sonny, say this is your offering. And it's done deliberately. Let them see the money. It's a deliberate thing. She'll make everybody, she'll open the envelope, count maybe 5,000 naira, instead of giving them 50, 100 naira. It doesn't have to be every day. She'll put in an envelope, close it, 5, 10, 20,000, put it, and say, get to church. Go and meet Uncle Sonny and say, this is your offering. When they say offering time, take it and go and drop it. What I did, it was deliberate. I said, don't let them ever think giving to God is change. That's the reason. I was trying to create an impression. Otherwise, because if you are giving them 50 naira, when they grow older, that's what they'll be treating church now. That place where we drop change. I said, you know these children? They've seen you go to the mall. Mommy, I want ice cream. They collect ice cream. Mommy, no, I want this one. They collect. They put in that those their baskets. And they wheel it behind you. Then you will not come behind them like El Shaddai. And then... Do you understand? And they are very... You see them, they are excited. Hey, more. Hey, they are excited. Then you ask them, okay, the teller, they will just go... Bam, the thing will turn up, zoom, roll out. So this is everything. It's 18,000. Okay. Either bring the money or you give them your card. And the children saw it and they are leaving the place with their drinks, with their donuts, and they are feeling very happy. Then you give those same children 50 naira on Sunday. What have you told them? ShopRite is more important than church. So it's deliberate. So when you grow up, when you go to church and say offering time, you will check. You will bring good. Do you follow my point? You will know that this is a place where we give with our whole heart and we give generously. That is how we teach children without saying anything. When you are making decisions, the other day my wife wasn't feeling well. So I was about to go and teach. So I wanted to say, okay, sleep. You know you're not feeling well. Then I told myself, how can you not tell you should sleep? You're not feeling well. Yesterday, were you feeling well? No. Did you not go to school? Did you not go to work? The day before, were you feeling well? No. Did you not go to work? So I woke up and said, I'm going to preach. You are not feeling well. Come and hear preaching. You will be healed. After that. Yeah. Because if you have well enough to go about your business, you are well enough to come to church and hear the word of God. People of God, if we really believe, it's the way we will live our life. If we really believe, we are making decisions, we'll do some things that say to us that indeed we believe. If we believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is very important, the return of the Lord must be something that is important to every believer. Paul said, one thing remains, said, there remains for me now the crown of righteousness, which the Lord has prepared for me, and not only for me, but for everyone who has loved his appearing. It's not by mouth we love his appearing, it's by the way we live. Fact, there is a life after now. I listen to Sadhu, all right? Sadhu Savara. He has some, you need to have a kind of heart to listen to him sometimes. He says some things you'll be wondering, like, okay, this is you are saying, I believe you, but I can't repeat it outside. Yes. Except that he will show you one or two scriptures, and like, it's in the Bible. But it's not like that. It's not very, it's in the Bible, but let it remain inside. You know that kind of thing. I will not be the one to go and be saying, Yeah, like, okay, let me give an example. One of the things, the John in Revelation, you know John, the book of Revelation, right? I was escorted by somebody. You know, somebody was saying, come, I'll show you this, they'll show you this, show you that, all right? What kind of person do you assume that is? An angel, yeah. So the man, and also the other, his friend, they proved that, no, it's not an angel. Like, then who was it? He said it was one of the saints of old. And there was, he said it's not an angel. There's one of the saints of old that took him on that tour. And he read one particular scripture and see the way the word that was used is fellow servant with you. And he just explained it. Now, this man, what I'm talking about is that. Now, everybody, please listen. When we talk about heaven, we're not trying to console ourselves. We're not talking about life after now. We're not trying to console ourselves. When you say you will see somebody again, it's not self-consolation. Even though the Bible says comfort one another with these words. But it's the truth. It's like, okay, one bank collapsed the other day in Nigeria, if you remember. All right? So my wife reminded, I think I have money there. I said to her, don't worry, your deposit is covered by NDIC. It's low. Do you get my point? Now, was I deceiving her? Oh, it wasn't deception. You see, I kept some money there. Woke up in the morning, bank was gone. I just said to her, don't worry. How much is it? I can't remember now. She told me. I said, no, but it's less than the limit now. And of course, truly, she didn't get money after a while. So I called one of her guys who work in CBN. He said, change the account, has a BVN. He said, don't worry. He said, but if you are concerned, go to some place and go and report the matter. He said, and of course, one day she just woke up, just got a lot in another bank. You know, because everybody has BVN now. They just took one of the other banks where her BVN was, just took the whole money, boom, and credited it. Some of you may have experienced that. Yeah, no, if your balance, when that bank went down, was less than 5 million within a few weeks, they had credited everybody. If you didn't get it, go and tell them. They'll give you your money. Just woke up one morning, bam. So where I'm going is that when I said, oh, don't worry, was I deceiving her? But did I comfort her? So the fact that you are comforting somebody with something, in fact, you never comfort somebody with a lie. Never. Never comfort somebody with a lie. Never. So when the Bible says comfort one another with these words, Paul was teaching us the truth. When Jesus rose from the dead, many who had died rose up at that same time, as in the scriptures. And their relatives saw them. Whether they went up immediately or they hung around like Jesus, you know, Jesus hung around for a long time. 40 days was teaching and teaching and teaching and explaining things. Let me explain something to you. He was really alive. He was not a hologram. There's some angels who smoke there. This is your Jesus in heaven. No? See him in heaven. But be looking at him. You'll not be playing heavenly speakers. And he said, when I was with you, I told you this. Peter, write that down. So they, and we're watching a hologram. No. He literally was there. And to prove to them, he cooked food for them and made them eat. And then he ate with them in the resurrection body. And it's called the first fruit. That is, all of us are going to be like that one day. Matter of fact, it's not self-consolation that if just hear a lie and be happy. No. Fact. In fact, you know, somebody said something. Derek Prince. When Job lost everything, what did Job lose? He lost his whole wealth. So let's say, just for the purpose of discussion, he had 100, it was more than that, but just as an example. He had 100 cows. When God blessed him, how many did he have? All right? He had 1,000 sheep. He lost everything. When God blessed him back, how many did he have? Let's, because of time, let me get to the end of it. How many children did he have that all died in one day? 10. When God blessed him, how many children did he have after? Why didn't he give him 20? I'll tell you. Derek Prince said, because God is still counting the first 10. Yeah, he was still counting the first 10. So actually, he gave him 20. But he counted the first 10, added the next 10. Because the other 10 are not as dead as you think. They've transited, but God had to count them. That's why Jesus said, he's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. So when he said he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, at that time, Jesus was saying to them, Abraham is alive and well. Isaac is alive and well. Jacob is alive and well. Pastor Murphy is alive and well. Bow your head and say, Lord, I thank you. Because your servant is alive and well, I will remain forever alive and well. Saints of God, just give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Because with Christ, all of us who have believed in him will remain alive and well forever. Saints of God, it's not church preaching, no. It's fact. There is something that is called the second death. It's for those who have not believed in Jesus Christ. They will not remain alive. No, they will not. They will not. They will not. Only those who have believed. People say, is Jesus the only way? I said, well, I don't know. But whoever you want to follow, make sure he can prepare a place for you. He's the only one that said, I've gone to prepare a place for you with the Father. So thank him for the place he has prepared for you. Thank him for the faith that he has given to you. To walk with him. To believe in him. A friend of mine passed a few years ago. I remember, I just said, put on my phone, I said, good night, bro. We'll see in the morning. And I meant it. The time will come. And I'll go up to be with them, or Jesus will come and take all of us. And my plan is to rush and look for my friend. So, boy, how have you been? I know you have been well. I want to tell them, me to see me. I've kept the faith. What's most important in every life is that you kept the faith. Is that you kept the faith. Please, let the world not bring you down to material achievement as a sign of your success. No. What's important is that you keep the faith of Jesus. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he wasn't lying. It wasn't. It's a fact. At this point, please, can we all rise to our feet? I want us to pray for Pastor Ngozi and the whole family. Let's just all rise to our feet. Let's all rise to our feet. Let's stretch forth our hands. These are not here, but in your mind, please pray for them also. In your mind, pray for them also. First of all, give the Lord thanks. You know, people sometimes say, look at what God did. They are angry. No. We're all rejoicing together. Say, Lord, thank you for faith. Thank you for faith. It's called the spirit of faith. It's the spirit of faith. It's the spirit of faith. Say, Lord, thank you for faith. Thank God for the faith that is in them. Thank God for the faith that is in them. Thank God for the faith that is in them. Thank God for the children. They are going to grow up in faith. They are growing in faith. They are growing not just in stature, but in faith. The faith of God. The faith of Christ Jesus. The faith that dwelt in their father. The faith that dwells right now in their mother. Will be in them. To pray. That's your first prayer. Pray for those children like that. That's the most important thing. That the faith that dwelt in their father, the faith that dwells right now in their mother. You know, Paul talked about Timothy. Said that faith that was in your grandmother, that was in your mother, Lois and Eunice. He said, look, that faith, I see it is in you. It's important that faith goes from one generation to another. So ask the Lord that he will preserve their faith. That's the most important prayer. Any place where God has placed somebody, that God could place somebody, and there's nobody there right now, God occupies the place by himself. Say, Father, be a father unto them. Teach them your word. Holy Spirit, stay beside them. Let your angel, let their angel before you carry your word all the time and make them hear. Make them hear. That is the most important thing of this life. God has helped me at this point in time. The things that people are running after, no. They don't matter. No, they don't. Just want to do the will of God for my life. I just want to know Jesus Christ. I want to see him exalted. That's it. There's nothing in this life worth running after. I'm telling you, brethren, there's nothing. These two things I have said today, that's all. Every other thing in this life is a result. You're fulfilling your duty as a believer, as Christ is being formed in you. That's all. You are parents, you are raising children. It's for the Lord, not for your legacy. It's not so that they can take care of you. It's so that the Lord will have another generation of warriors who is perfecting into the image of Christ also. So pray for them. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, let your purpose, let this purpose be fulfilled in this life, in these lives, in this family. Pray. And then pray for everything after that. Lord, protection as they travel, as they come, as they go. Provision of every side, on every side. Provision, material provision. Help, human help as needed. Lord, we send them financial help, everything. Say, Lord, cause favor to multiply to them in abundance. Let all grace abound towards them so that they will have all sufficiency, as Paul said, in all things. Lord, let their story be a testimony in every dimension. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Our Father, we say thank you. We bless your daughter and the children. And we say in simple terms, the Lord bless you. The name of the Lord be lifted over you. We declare his name over you. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious. The Lord that is slow to anger and abound in loving kindness and truth. He will keep his loving kindness over you continually in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, for the extended family, we pray. We prophesy your comfort, your blessing, your light upon them in the name of Jesus. But everyone in that family, you see your son one day because of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're asking you to do. And we'll receive it by faith. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. God bless you. Hallelujah. Please rise. You're blessed.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.